I'm on the phone today with House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Now, some exciting news out of the House DFL this week as you guys unveiled your, what was it, the budging, tax and education plan? Did I get that in the right order?
Yes, that's correct.
What's the big gist of this bill that you've introduced?
Well, basically, in the long run, Minnesota has been spending less and less money on public education, from early childhood and child care through our K-12 system and into higher education. And we cannot be a successful state in the long run without a successful education system. On top of that, we have huge racial disparities. And so as we have a state that is more racially diverse, we need all students to be successful. And kids are coming to school with very different needs and greater needs than we've seen in the past. So we need to make a stronger long-term commitment to education. That's why in our tax bill, we raise revenue from the richest Minnesotans. We raise revenue from big companies, the people who have benefited the most from our success as a state. And that revenue goes primarily back into long-term support for our schools everywhere in the state.
I've been hearing from some of your colleagues in the House across the aisle that, you know, with the money coming from the federal government, the state, the projected surplus, that there is no need to raise taxes. Do you have a response for that?
We could get by right now with this one-time federal money, but it's a wave that will wash out over, will wash over us and go back out into the lake again. We don't have a sustained long-term commitment to investing in the kind of education system that Minnesota needs. So when this federal money is gone, we will have no plan left in place. So yes, we understand that the short-term picture looks good financially for the state, but in the long run, we are not making the core investments we need for our economy to be successful and for communities to be thriving all over Minnesota. Just look at what's happening in the Bemidji schools. Without a longer-term investment, a more sustained investment from the state, we're going to see budget cuts at the very time when we have millions and millions of dollars flowing into schools around the state. So it just shows how far away from what we where we need to be we are, because even with all this big money coming in, it's not enough to actually put us on the pathway that we need to be successful.
And I know we talked a little bit last time we had a chance to visit. Superintendent Tim Lutz gave a big presentation during a Bemidji School Board meeting showing all the ways the state has fallen short when it comes to transportation, per pupil funding that doesn't keep up with inflation, and special education, that one too.
Well, and if you look at our budget at the state level, we don't have a surplus if you count inflation. Everybody knows that if you go 10 years without a raise, you have lost money. You have less ability to pay your bills if you don't get a raise for 10 years. It's the same thing in education. If we follow the Republican plan of 0% formula increases, we end up with budget cuts in the long term, and they accumulate. That's what's exactly happening. That's why Bemidji schools are struggling. That's why schools across the state. And the irony of it is that it is Republicans in rural districts who suffer the most. It's their districts, their students who suffer the most. In the metro area, property taxpayers can increase property taxes more easily. There's more property wealth. In rural areas, that's not true. So without growing state aid coming from our state budget, it is rural kids who suffer the most.
Right, and in Beltrami County, I think, what, only 25% of the land base is taxable? 75% is public land and forest and stuff like that?
Well, sure, that's one factor. And, you know, I don't think a levy referendum in the Hopkins School District, where my kids go right now, has ever failed. The voters are always willing to support it because it is a relatively small fraction of the overall payment that they have relative to the value of the land. So it is partly it's the amount of land that's in public control, but it's also just value of the asset. Metropolitan area has higher land values.
I've also been hearing some grumblings about gas tax. Was that in the bill that you guys introduced this week, or am I getting confused?
There is a 5-cent phased-in gas tax proposed for the transportation bill. And again, it's a simple matter. If you want good roads, you have to pay for them. If you want good education, you have to pay for them. Our gas tax hasn't changed since 2008. And, you know, while we were in the pandemic, traffic was light. We were hitting the roads a little less hard than we would be. But as we come out of this, we're going to see what poor condition the state's roads are in. And again, you don't get something for nothing. And if we expect something for nothing, we're going to get nothing.
All right, Majority Leader Winkler, is there anything else about the legislature this week you wanted to chat about before I let you go? I'm sure you've got a very busy schedule.
Yeah, we have about 6 weeks left. We are entering a phase where we're passing our major budget bills and getting ready for negotiations with the Senate. So the real heat and heart of the legislative session is going to be over the next 6 weeks. And I would encourage people to be in touch with your legislators on any issue that matters to you. Your voice does matter at the state capitol.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me, Ryan Winkler. We'll catch you next time.